Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
We do this too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear. If you ain't listening, you ain't here.
Welcome back, y'all. It's another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. And as always, we are presented to you in partnership with brands that we feel represent the very best of the outdoor industry. So before we get started, we'd like to give a special shout out to Moultrie, Uller's Archery, Threads Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pimp Sense and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Briley's over there in Houston, Texas, and last but certainly not least, a special shout out to the good folks over at Retail USA for making me feel like family and manufacturing the best shotguns on the market. Whether you need new cameras to elevate the scouting experience, new shotguns, new arrows, or anything for your archery setups, clothing, scent, or whatever it may be. As a supporter of the podcast, I appreciate y'all rocking with me and giving me the support that I need. It doesn't go unnoticed. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your boy C. Will. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. I've got a super special guest on today, Miss Hannah Lee from Arizona. So I got her information from my boy Trey, as everybody on my podcast know who Trey is. He's my boy, the dreaded archer. She has a very interesting story that I think a lot of people will really like. balancing mom life, balancing hunting life. So it's a real American story, I should say. And I think you'll like it. So, Miss Hannah, for the people that don't know you, introduce yourself.
All right. I am Hannah. I just started this archery journey probably like a year and a half or so ago. And we're just starting to dip our toes in the whole hunting thing and but falling in love with every part of it. I mean, it really has just lit up my life. So I was fortunate enough to be on Trey's podcast. I kind of started posting TikToks. Honestly, probably 3 months ago, and that's how he found me. I shoot a lot in my bedroom, like at 10 yards, and so kind of gained some attraction. But all of it's still fairly new. I have my first javelina tag out here for this January, and I've been on two hunts for some mule deer this year, or in December, and I mean, the first hunt I went on, I was just like, this is exactly what I want to be doing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Trey told me, well, I actually listened to the podcast and he was like, she shoots in her house.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, what? She shoots in her house. She's like, yeah. Like she'll be, you know, she'll shoot through her bedroom, her bathroom, or wherever she can. And I'm like, my wife would have a hissy fit.
Listen, I don't know that I would recommend it, but I'm obsessed with shooting. I love it. I have three kids, so getting out to, and like I live in a townhome, so that's the other thing. I don't have a backyard. Getting out to the range or the archery club that I shoot at is really not always in the cards for me. So, I mean, I did get a coach about like kind of right when I started all this. And he suggested, even if it's, you set the target up and you're 3 to 4 yards, even just to, you know, practice the all, like just the whole shot follow through and the feel for all of it. Anything's better than nothing. So I just set that randomly. It was raining. I set my target outside my patio and shot from my bathroom, and again it's like 10 yards. It's not much, but I have noticed a significant difference in how my shot feels and the consistency of it. But yeah, no, I broke my window also doing it. I shot that shit.
That's good though, because I tell, you know, people, especially like when me and Trey are on podcasts together, we get a lot of questions from new archers like, hey, like, what's the best bow? What's this? What, you know, the best release, best this? I'm like, dude, the best thing you can do once you, you know, find what bow you want, just put some ammo down range.
Yeah.
Keep shooting.
Yeah.
And I was like, and me personally, I'll tell people too, like, when you start to get tired, put your bow up.
Well, that's exactly what I should have done when I shot my window, because that was just it. I shot and like life was just getting to me anyway. So like I had hiked that morning. I went and shot at the range, and then I came home and I was like, and I was doing it alive, by the way. So this is all in front of people.
That's even better. That's awesome.
There was 200 people in that live at the time that I did this, and I've been practicing. I was trying to learn how to shoot with both eyes open. Yeah. And I was doing good all week. However, I knew it. I was tired. I like should have put the bow down. So my first shot, I was aiming for the right side of my target. My left eye took over and I hit the middle of it. And I thought, I'm like, you need to stop. And of course I did not. So then I was aiming at the middle of the target. My left eye took over again. And that's when I hit the...
Yep.
I shot my window. But yeah, no, that's, and I've heard that for so long. Like I've had a bow for 10 years and I was very inconsistent, loved shooting it, so much fun. But like, it would just be like, there would be months that I'd shoot all the time and then I wouldn't pick it up for months. And it was never anything just really consistent up until like, I mean, we're probably going 2 years now. We're working on 2 years. Yeah.
I got you. Yeah. It's one of those things I tell people. It's not like like people here in Kentucky would get 2 weeks of gun season. And a lot of people won't even pick their rifles up until like the day before to make sure their sights and still, you know, it's not like a rifle. It's something that you have to consistently
shoot
your bow, or when you take it back out and think you're good, you're not good.
You're not. Well, and even just like the subtle changes, we swapped out a sight right before my hunt, which was probably not, you know, like you, not ideal. I said, you know, I only had a short time to kind of get used to it, but I went to the Garmin, and the pros and cons, it would have been a lot easier to, you know, hunt with. So we did it. And I mean, luckily that sight is sweet. I love it. But even just making that adjustment right before the week of the hunt was a little kind of ballsy, but, it worked out.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you'll see later. Well, maybe you won't, but you know, some of the, I guess the old school hunters, with all the new technology that are in bows now, oh, you're cheating or you're
for sure.
Hey, get out of here.
I think I made a post about it at one point, and there was a lot of controversy kind of in there. But I gotta say, I mean, it, I feel like it just, you know, work smarter, not harder, you know, like it just, hey,
I'm a big believer of work smarter, not harder. Like anything is going to help me more easily bring a deer or whatever I'm shooting to my table, I'm all for it.
Right. I mean, and to, like, so, oh, sorry. I haven't really been in the situation of, you know, once you're actually hunting and you actually draw back on an animal or whatever, like, then you actually understand the whole, you know, you don't know until you know. So, it was last weekend that I, drew back on a buck at 32 yards. And first of all, just holding the shot as long as I had to, like, I've heard people say practice holding it. I still didn't, until that moment, I really didn't completely understand how long that could possibly, you know, be. But even just to, I didn't have to let down to rearrange it or anything like that. Like it does make a huge difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's another thing I tell people, you know, when somebody goes out to buy a new bow or whatever, like, don't buy something just because your buddy's got one, you know,
right.
You know, 'cause you might have to hold that thing back a lot longer than you think. And you might not be able to hold it back without sitting there, you know,
like shaking, especially like you get crazy. Your legs are shaking anyway, like you're nervous. And then on top of it, you're holding that bow back. I mean, and I don't hold, like, pull a lot of weight anyway. So I cannot even imagine some of these like men doing an 80, 90 pound bow, having to hold it. Like, that's crazy.
Me personally, I might get a lot of flash for this, but anybody that's shooting a freaking 80 to 90 pound bow, it's all an ego trip.
Ego thing, yeah.
You don't need it, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just like bragging rights in their, you know, little groups. Like, oh, I'm pulling back 80 pounds. Congratulations. Now, when you're sitting in a blind and you're sitting there freezing to death and that big buck comes walking out, and all your limbs are cold and tight, and you're trying to get that 80-pound bow back, it's probably not going to happen for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
know, I'll shoot 65 pounds on all my bows, simply because I've had a lot of shoulder issues throughout the year. I used to be a baseball player.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot of shoulder issues. So 65 pounds is perfect for me. I'm shooting a Bowtech now, Proven 34. Absolutely love that bow. And I can literally hold that bow back as long as I need to.
So I got to, that's what I have to work on. And I'm only, right now I'm at 45. The goal will be to move it up. But I need to practice holding it. I think he said I was holding it for like a minute. I thought I was going to die. Like, so I was like, I don't know how much longer I can do this, especially to like, if the shot was able to, like, I had the shot, I don't know if I would have even been able to do it at that point, but
for sure. What kind of bow do you shoot?
It's a Bowtech 2. It's the Ava Gen 3.
And oh, okay.
I love it.
Yes, fantastic bow.
It's my second one. Like, the first one I have was old. It was very old, and it was a great bow. It was a Matthews, but it was like really outdated. So I got this over the summer, and I mean, what a game changer.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I own a Matthews as well. But their draw cycle on my shoulder is just, I mean, most of my Matthews that I, well, I say I shoot 65 pounds on my boat. My Matthews is set at 55.
Okay.
Simply because of the draw cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, that was when I was looking at the math. It was between the Matthews RS and this one, and that was what I noticed. It was just this. The Ava was a little like a little bit smoother. The draw cycle was a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good choice. Good choice. So what got you? I'm gonna go with the outdoors portion first. Like, what drew you into the outdoors, and then we'll get into like what drew you into archery, or if they tie in together, you can. Go ahead and explain.
Go and do both. Well, so I moved out to Arizona when I was like 21 or 22. And I had a friend take me out just shooting clay pigeons. And I was like, this is awesome. I've shot like a shotgun before, but for some reason this time it was different. And I ended up getting my Remington 870 not too long after that. And I was just obsessed with it. So hiking out here too. I just like being outside. I love being out in the woods. And I don't know. I just love shooting guns. Made me feel powerful, I guess. I don't know. And then it just, I think, so hunting's always been interesting. I didn't grow up hunting. I have cousins that hunt, but that's really it. Like, so it's not like my family does it. It just, I can't explain it. It just was interesting to me. And, so I had some friends that like hunted and stuff, but it was, you know, we did dove and squirrel and, but nothing, anything more than that. My ex-husband ended up getting me the bow for, my birthday one year. And that was kind of the idea to like get into all of that, stuff, which never really happened. I just kind of shot it for fun. That was the extent of that. And then 2 years ago, a girlfriend of mine found this hike to hunt event, which is kind of like the tack stuff. And she was like, why don't we go try it? You know, see what it is. You just hike and you shoot 3D targets and you know, whatever. So at that point, I figured it was a good way to see if this is something that I really like and I can start throwing money into it, because I found it was very expensive. Or maybe this was just something that, like, you know, I picked up because my ex-husband wanted me to do it, or, you know, like, whatever. Which one was it? I wasn't really sure. So we didn't have a rangefinder. We had the bow and arrows, and that was it. So we had no idea what we were getting into at all. And honestly, it changed my life. Like, it was like that. Just, there's a picture of me too, and I honestly can say I don't think I've ever looked happier. Like, it was just awesome. You mean to tell me that I could just shoot some shit in the woods and, you know, I don't know. It set my soul on fire, like, for sure. And so once I got back there, I went into the archery club. Like, I had met the owner of that event, and he was so kind, totally making fun of the fact that I didn't have a rangefinder and I had no idea what the hell I was doing. But he's like, I love it. Come find me after you're done shooting. And he talked with me for like 40 minutes. And he's like, you know, people are going to tell you you need the best of the best. You know, but I'm here to say, like, don't get the worst, don't get the best, get something in the middle, like, pointed me in the right direction for just the rangefinder, sent me to AZ Archery Club. He's like, speak to Eddie. They're great with beginners, but also like women in the sport. He acknowledged the difference that women have in the sport. Like, he's like, it's still a bit of a boys club. So just be mindful, like, of all that. And I also haven't really been in a space where I had a man acknowledge that part of it as well, you know? So it was just from that moment, it was just a completely different experience that I've had really throughout my entire life. So And from there, I went to the archery club and spoke to Eddie, and he hooked me up. And that was where I ended up meeting my coach. And from there, I just like dove into it. And I've met so many amazing people. I do a lot of the tournaments, like just for fun. That's kind of what I did all of last year. And now, but the goal has been to hunt. And that's where we're at now, is we are finally reached that point. And hopefully this year we will have some successful hunts under my belt. Yeah.
Well, congrats on getting started, for one. For two, I hope all your hunts turned out successful, but you will learn. Like I said, I hope all your hunts are 100%, but you know, sometimes, you know, you'll get out there and you'll get a little frustrated. Just stick with it. You know, it's part of the journey.
I've gotten so lucky on these first ones too. The first one, we called in some deer and there was a mountain lion at 50 yards. That was my first one. So then like last weekend, the first day we were out there, within 10 minutes of us being out there, that was the buck that I drew back on. And then later that day, we found some deer, went to call them in, and found a mountain lion again. And it was like screaming at it was such a eerie experience. So those have been my two first. Like the next day though, didn't see shit on both of those. So I can see where it can get right now though. I feel very lucky. I haven't been successful, but I feel very lucky.
That's awesome. Yeah. You're in mountain lion country out there.
Yeah.
That's why, like, a lot of people make fun of me because they're like, you know, see, Will, you're a big hunter, but you're scared of the dark.
Yeah.
You can't swim, and I duck hunt, you know.
I want to duck hunt.
Yeah. We'll get into that. But it's, mm-hmm. You talking about expensive.
But well, like, that one's worse.
But like me, it's duck hunting's way worse than archery. But we'll get into that. I promise. But like, yeah, I'm scared of the dark. I can't swim as a duck hunter. And like, early season, I do not usually hunt a lot because of snakes. Like, I'm terrified of snakes. And people's like, bro, you're an outdoorsman and you're scared of everything out there. And I'm like, I got a gun in my hand a lot of times, or at least on my hip, you know. And I'm like, you know, once daylight hits, I'm fine. But like, my farm that I grew up on, this is what I tell people. And God honest truth, you can ask anybody in my family, my best friend, anybody. The farm that I grew up on is haunted. We've seen a lot of crazy stuff on that farm. I actually seen Bigfoot on that farm.
What?
Go back and look at my Halloween episode. I'll actually send it to you after we get off here. You'll probably be, if you need a good laugh for the night or for the week to get you to Monday, this is the episode for you. But, we were coon hunting one night, me and my buddy. He's going to remain nameless because he still does not want me to mention his name. We were coon hunting. We had about 3 coons that night, and the dogs were out in front of us. This is before I had trackers on my dogs. I had my big spotlight on my hat. There's a creek that runs through. We are on my uncle's property before it sold, before he passed away. And there's like this little dip that goes up where we used to take our tractors and stuff across there. And I go across the creek and I look up, standing in front of me, this thing was at least 10, 11 foot tall. It had like mossy, like a green, like moss all over him. But his face looked like a dog. And he was turned sideways. And he barked at me like a dog.
Nope. Nope. Gotta go.
And I had a .22 rifle in my hand, and so did my buddy. But I look back, he's gone. And it's about 200 yards from my mom's house. So we both dropped our rifles and took out. The only thing I had was a 9mm. I had a Glock 19, 15 rounds. It wasn't going to do nothing but piss whatever it was off. And by the time we got back to my mom's house, my buddy's got asthma really, really bad. So he's like, I'm thinking he's going to have he's like a panic attack. He's freaking out. Man, what the hell was that thing? So I go and tell my dad. He thinks we've been drinking, smoking, something, you know, whatever. But yeah. I've seen people with no heads walking around out there. Weird stuff, you know.
We got to get out of there.
But, you know, eventually that farm is going to be mine eventually, you know, when, you know, God forbid something happens to my mother, which I hope it doesn't, but everybody's got to go sometime.
Yeah.
But yeah, that farm it's haunted. So a lot of times when I go, even go other places, like I just got back from Mississippi this weekend, hunting down there with some buddies, you know, and, you know, they dropped me off in the pitch black dark, you know, and I'm in a place that's unfamiliar to me.
Right.
I'm just sitting there just like praying the whole time until the sun comes up.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm in a place I don't know where I'm at. Just, you know, so I just open the window and just watch the sun come up, basically. But once the sun come up, I'm cool. But before then, man, it's just, I feel like the boogeyman is going to come get me or something. I don't know. I just freak out. But
yeah,
it's getting a little better, I say, but I don't know. It's just, I don't like the dark. But
yeah, I don't really like the dark either. I'm definitely, there's no way I'm going to be alone in it. That's for sure.
I went down there. I got invited, and y'all already tagged out of Kentucky, so we're a one buck state here.
Oh, okay.
So my buddy invited me to Mississippi. You can kill three down there. So I was like, okay, we're gonna go down here and see what we can do. But it was hot. I mean, I'm literally sitting in this blind with a t-shirt on. That's how hot it was down there.
Yeah, that's how it was this past weekend too for us.
Like, man, and then Monday, the day that I left, it was like 25 degrees, but like 30 mile an hour winds. Like, it just was not a good day either, but I had fun meeting everybody down there. Yeah, but that's my, kind of got off subject a little bit, off topic, but.
Well, we don't like the dark, we don't like snakes, and yet we are outdoorsy.
Yeah, we're outdoorsy, and people ask me all the time, it's like, how in the world? Like, I don't know, I make it happen.
Listen, when you love something, you're going to do it anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
So getting into archery for your, you know, first time, everything, starting out, like, what was the hardest part for you?
Gosh, probably just doing it. I mean, showing ignorance was bliss, I think, also, like, just showing up, not having any clue what we were doing, I think did help. Now, hindsight, like, knowing what I know now, and then for me to go show up and do it, like, without, that would be different. So the ignorance part really did help. But I just think keep showing up. Not, like, there's so much to learn with archery. And especially, like, the hunting side of it is complete. There's even more, you know? Yeah. So I do think for me, like, having the coach, because I'm someone that I'll, like, research, I'll watch a lot of videos, but there's so much information out there that you can definitely get lost in it. And so I think the coach kind of, like, helped at least direct some of it. Like, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're focusing on. Listen to what I'm saying. And then kind of, you know, everything else can kind of, you can come back to it at a later time, you know, like, so that stuff helped. But yeah, I think just getting started was, and just showing up, like, shooting in front of people, shooting in these tournaments, like, all of it has helped so much. But I have been fortunate enough to just, my love for it has trumped any fear I've had around it, you know?
Yeah.
So there hasn't been too much of that, you know?
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I tell a lot of people, you know, the 3D world will get you pretty close, pretty ready to hunt. I mean, you still got to, you know, go out there and do your due diligence and practice and everything. But, you know, at least you know once that animal does cross your path, you know where to shoot them.
Yeah.
You know how to try to take the most ethical shot that you can instead of just slinging an arrow at it.
For sure.
But it's archery's all, I tell people, archery's all a mental game.
Yeah.
It's all mental. And if you can calm your nerves enough to make that pin stop moving, which is never going to all stop moving, but the you know, steadier you can get that thing, man, the better, you know, much better archer you're going to be.
I think that has been the coolest part about archery for me is just the way that it, I mean, it's almost like a meditation of some kind, just the way that you have to like be in your body, quiet the mind. Like it's just, it's unlike something, you know, I grew up playing sports, but I hadn't experienced something this, like this, I guess, where, you know, most of the sport, you know, I played soccer, so I'm running into people, I'm chasing a ball. Like there's not really time for me to like, be like, oh, you know, maybe if we're doing penalty kicks or something, but like, this is way different. This is way different. And I do enjoy that part of it too, where it's like the mental part of it.
Yeah.
It has helped other areas of my life, I feel like.
Yeah, it will. Outdoors, man, it gives you kind of a mentality for other things in life, you know, patience and perseverance. And, you know, I tell people it's not all about, you know, the harvest. It's everything that leads up to that harvest. And
right.
Once you do harvest that animal that you've been chasing, now you get to tell the story of everything that led up to it.
Right.
And that's always the fun part to me, you know, especially during Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, when I walk in the door, you know, there's a hunter. Did you catch anything? Like,
yeah.
No.
Didn't catch anything.
But yeah. You know, I get to tell those stories to everybody and even, you know, like-minded hunters, man, it's just, you know, they're all talking their stories and like, hey, now I get to tell mine. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that it kind of pumps your chest up a little bit, especially when you're the first one or the second one, even in your little group to harvest something and everybody else hadn't harvested anything yet. You're just like, yeah, I did it first, you know, kind of bragging rights, you know, but it's all in fun. You know, there's no,
well, for sure. Well, and you're proud. And I mean, it is like, it is all that work that you put into it, all that time. And even just the stuff that people don't see, you know, whether you're just practicing in your bedroom or like, you know, whatever, it's, there's a lot more that goes into it than just that specific hunt, you know? And it just, when it all pans out, there's, you know, you almost, it just feels so aligned. Like it's, and I guess this is me speaking because I have not had this experience yet. I'm only purely imagining and then living through other people's stories, watching the videos, seeing how emotional people get and like all of it. I mean, it just,
You're good.
But yeah, let me hold on. Let me put on do not disturb so my kids don't do some weird stuff. Okay.
Try that. You're good. Yeah, you stopped there for a second. I was like, uh-oh, what happened?
Yeah.
You're good.
They're all FaceTiming their friends right now and it goes through my phone. So yeah.
It's all good. So being a woman in a male-dominated sport, like, have you had a moment that you ever felt so far that you ever felt like underestimated or felt like you had to prove yourself just yet?
I feel like I always feel that way. Whether it's, you know, I think I just operate in a place where I feel that I need to prove myself or something. But, and overall, I feel that the men that have, I mean, cause it's mostly men. There's not too many women that have influenced a lot of this stuff for me. It's like, there's one other, well, there's two now. There's two other girls at this point that shoot with us. And fortunately, most of the men that I've met have been more than helpful, more than like nice. And for the most part, I don't feel like they're competing, like, which is nice because let's be real. But yeah, no. So I got to say the most of this experience has been positive. I haven't had not what you would expect, I think.
Okay. So, hypothetically speaking, you know, you meet another, female that is looking to get into archery, but they're very kind of on the fence about it, kind of nervous. Like, what advice would you give to them?
Kind of on the fence about it. I would have to just say, just do it. My personality is, you got to try it. You got to throw yourself into it. You're going to figure it out. I mean, and that was my whole hike to hunt experience. It was, I'm going to go throw myself into this. We're going to see, is this for me? Or was this just something that I enjoyed, but I did for somebody else, you know? And that's sometimes the only way you're going to find out. And I mean, I found out, like I found I needed and want it to be. Did it cut out again?
Yeah, it did, but you're good. I heard everything you said.
Okay. So, that's what I would just say. You have to try it and throw yourself into it. And like, my bow was not great or anything. I didn't have a whole investment into it. Like, I waited. I gave my goal was to have a new bow after the second hike to hunt. So that would have been a year. If I'm consistent, if I'm loving it, if it, you know, I keep it all up, then I'll invest in the equipment. And, I was shooting so much, and honestly, like at that point, I couldn't grow with it anymore. So it was like a couple months before the hike to hunt, and I got this one. And I mean, that was a game changer for sure.
Yeah.
So, awesome. I mean, you just got to try it. There's so many, at the archery clubs and stuff, from my experience, and I'm sure this isn't always everybody's, but if you go in there asking questions and like, hey, you want to go into this, but you're not sure which route to go, I find it hard to believe that someone's not going to like kind of take you under their wing and help you out. You know, the archery community is amazing.
It's awesome. It's been awesome. And even like the 3D world, if you're shooting competition, like that side of archery, which a lot of people don't realize, like those are some of the most like humble, most helping people. They will literally give you the shirt off their backs. And if they can't, they will go find somebody else's shirt to give you.
The amount of people that have been like, hey, here's this back stabilizer. This is going to help you. Here's this. This is going to help you. Like, people have been so giving and kind and helpful. And that's where I started, was the 3D. Like, that is how we got here. But the 3D is what also led me to the people that I shoot with on a regular basis, who are helping me with my hunt, who I've met other people through these people. It really has just kind of aligned itself so beautifully. So that's the route I would go. Because it worked for me, you know, going to the archery shop, and I just happened to find this coach too. He was like, you clearly look like you need help. So let me help you. But I was just willing. I was also willing to hear what anybody had to say. So, and I was very like, at this point, you know, I'm a mom of three. This was I think it was a month before that hike to hunt. I had prayed that I wanted something for me. I wanted something to light me up. You know, I've got three kids. I work. I have fun. I have friends. But like nothing that really lit me up. And then this hike to hunt thing happened, and it was like exactly what I prayed for. And I've just leaned in ever since.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I can't stress enough, like, that archery community, it's so helpful. Because I've been hunting for a long time, but I didn't pick up a bow until I was in college. And then the guy that taught me, he's still out there bow hunting, and I kept learning more and more and more from people. And then my first total archery challenge I went to was in 22 in Belvedere, Tennessee. And I really didn't know what to expect, because I just like going outside to shoot my bow in the backyard. No, I didn't know anything about 3D.
Right.
And I shot it, and it was awesome. I got hurt that day, but once I got out of that, I started buying you know, all these accessories to my bow. I bought a target bow. I bought like arrows. I kept changing my setup. I kept it became an addiction.
It is addicting for sure.
I'm like, this is crazy. I mean, there was always a Lancaster box at my house. Like,
yeah,
coming every day because I would just change up stuff. And I'd see somebody with something I liked. I'd ask them why they had it on their bow, and they told me, and I'm like, okay, I might need it on my bow. It might not work for me, but I tried right. it. No.
Yep.
But it's kind of trial and error thing. You know, you can get real expensive with it if you want.
But you don't have to.
Yeah, bad there for a while. You don't have to.
You don't have to. I mean, it is way fun to do the expensive stuff, but.
It is.
You know, just like anything else for the most part. In
your pockets. Yeah, so expensive. Segue, duck hunting.
Yes.
So if you've never been duck hunting, I suggest that you find somebody. I don't know how the duck hunting is in Arizona.
I doubt we even have duck hunting.
I know y'all have. I know Oklahoma's close to y'all.
Yeah.
Kansas is close to y'all. Those two spots, Arkansas as well. Those three spots. Find somebody.
I just found out. I was talking to my aunt today. So I'm originally from Indiana.
Lord, God bless your heart.
Yeah.
What part?
Fishers, Indiana.
Like just, middle? Is that like?
Yeah. Central Indiana.
Central Indiana?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I'll give you a little bit of leeway there.
Okay, but my aunt is from Vincennes, Indiana. So we're not far from you.
So Vincennes, Indiana. When I was 12 years old, I played in the Bambino World Series of baseball in Vincennes, Indiana. And I have hated that place ever since.
Of course.
But yeah, I've got a lot of family in Indiana. I like to mess with the Hoosiers. You know, they're a big basketball state, just like Kentucky is. So we kind of, and what their football team is doing right now, I don't understand it.
Can you believe that?
That's the biggest turnaround of it. Their coach better get the high, he better be the highest paid coach in college football once this is over.
That game was insane. All of them are insane, but like, holy shit. Like, Alabama?
I know Alabama's not, you know, the old.
Right, it's not what they used to be, but still. But
when you think of Indiana, you think of, you know, the movie, Hoosiers. Everybody, Hoosiers. Like, yeah. You think of basketball. You don't think they're killing people in football.
Right? Oh, my God. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. I was talking to my aunt today, and she had told me, I don't know what we were talking about, but she's like, oh, this friend of mine, he does duck hunts down here. And I was like, how the hell have you never told me that? Like I was like, that's what I've wanted to do for a long time. I want to do that. And I want to bow fish. That's what it's called, right? Like,
yes, I still haven't been bow fishing.
I want to do that too. That sounds fun. But the duck hunt. So I do know somebody. I'm, you know, now that she knows that I'm interested in that, maybe she'll hook it up. Maybe I'll fly to Indiana, good old Vincennes, your favorite place.
I'm telling you. So right now in Kentucky, we don't have that. We haven't had that big push of birds just yet. And my cousin just went up there 2 days ago and seen, I don't know how many he said he's seen. I had to look at the text message, but he's like, the birds are in Indiana right now. I said, what? He's like, they're in Indiana right now. I said, well, okay. But to get into duck hunting, I'm going to tell you now, once you do it, you're going to have an archery section in your house. And if you have a basement, you're going to have, you know, decoys everywhere. You're going to have waders, shotguns. I mean, you're going to go all in.
All right.
One of those, it got bad for me because this is my third year ever duck hunting. First time I ever did it, I fell in love with it. And I'm telling you, I literally had to give away, like, I got a little shed out back with all my gear and stuff in it. It was getting so bad that I happened to look in there and I had way more duck hunting stuff than I had anything. I love deer hunting, squirrels, basically whatever's in season, turkey hunting, whatever, but I had way more duck decoys, goose decoys, waders, wader bags, just like all these accessories. And I'm like, I don't need all this. So I ended up giving it to a guy at work. His son is wanting to get into it. He's like 16. I was like, dude, come to the house.
Take it.
And yeah. I loaded his truck up. He's like, dude, do I owe you any money? No, take it.
Yeah.
He's 16 years old. He wants to get started. This is everything he needs to get started. All he needs is a shotgun now, you know.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I do my due diligence. People hook me up with stuff. I'm one of those people. I don't know if you listen to any of my other podcasts, but I'm the cheapest person you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah.
I don't pay for anything. I barter for stuff. Stuff yeah. that I don't need or don't use, I'll trade it off and get what I want. I don't pay full price for anything. I hate it. Like, I'm not paying $2,000 for a boat. Like,
right.
So whatever I don't use, I'll find stuff in my house, in my safe. I'll have yard sales. I'll do what I need to do. Trade some chickens, cows, whatever I need to do.
There you go.
So it cracks Trey up because anything like I get, I mean, how'd you get that? I was like, man, I got like $200 in this thing. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Sold this cow over here for it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But yeah,
that's awesome.
So where are we at? So representation in the outdoors is huge for me personally, because growing up, like, I didn't think anybody that looked like me did what I did. I didn't think they had the passion that I had. I never seen it besides my dad and my uncle. So, like, how big is representation for you as a woman?
Well, I mean, it's definitely with the social media and stuff. I mean, that has really helped all of it. Like, it really does make all of it look obtainable, I guess, because now a lot of these women that I follow or see or represent women in the outdoors, they've grown up doing it.
Right.
Their fathers taught them, their brothers, their, you know, all that stuff. I don't know too many women, or I don't have any women that are like, where do we have no, I have no fucking clue what I'm doing. Like, I have no experience. I have not, you know, so, that representation for me is different, like, because that's not my story. I didn't grow up doing it. So there, that part of it doesn't exist really. But there are women out there doing it. The social media giving access to us has helped a lot, for sure. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you wouldn't, like, growing up for me, like I said, I didn't think anybody else, you know, that was black hunted or fished besides my dad and my uncle. Even as I got older, I met a couple like older guys that like they rabbit hunted and stuff like that, which they grew up doing.
Yeah. But
once I started my platform, like, I've met hundreds and hundreds of people that have basically the same story that I have, thinking they were the only person in their area to grow up doing that. And it's like, it's crazy how many people have the same exact story that I have.
Yeah.
And just didn't know it until, you know, social media is here now, so you can find anything. So it was,
right.
It was kind of awesome to see us represent, you know, represented on these different platforms. Now, I would still like to see us more like on the big screen, on the big stage, you know, kind of some of the TV shows or whatever, which I think is coming pretty soon. But
I think it's coming too. I mean, even just like what you're doing now, what Trey's doing now, all of that stuff is leading into all of that, you know. And I think I feel the same way for women too.
Absolutely.
It is growing. It's getting out there. We have so many people have so much more access to it. And I do think that with the more access, people are more open to it too. Right. You know, It's not as closed off anymore, or at least what we felt was closed off, I guess. Maybe it wasn't closed off. We just, you know, we didn't have representation for ourselves, so it felt like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it does, at least being in it, it does feel like there's room.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some big name, you know, big name women out there now, you know, doing, you know, from hunting to, you know, and Hannah Baron, what she's doing with the whole catfish. Oh my,
that was one of the first ones that I started following for sure was her.
Yeah, she's a beast, man. And her father, I met them at the NWTF this year, and her dad wasn't there. But Hannah, super nice lady. You know, my son actually noticed who she was. I was like, Dad, that's Hannah.
Yeah.
We went up to her, took a picture with her, like super nice. You know, everybody.
She's a beast. Just about
everybody in the outdoor community is just, you know, they're awesome.
Yeah.
If you ever get the chance to go to some of these shows and meet some of these celebrities, you'll realize that, you know, there's a lot of good people out there. There's a lot of assholes out there too, but
there's
more good than bad. So
I agree. That's been at least my experience, that there's definitely the good has definitely outweighed the bad.
For sure. So, what made you like start like sharing your story on like Instagram with the shooting the bows and everything? Like, it was just something that you were bored at home. It was like, hey, I'm gonna record myself shooting. And
yeah, so like Instagram, I do post a lot on Instagram, but it's not a whole lot of archery stuff. Like, I build cornhole boards and make wooden signs and stuff, so I really used Instagram for like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I had a TikTok, but it was really used for me to just, you know, doom scroll in my bed, never really posting anything. But I randomly posted a video of me shooting one weekend, and it kind of like, it didn't go viral, but it gained a lot of attraction quickly. Right. So I was like, shit. Let's do it again. Let's see what happens. And I ended up having one video go a little bit viral, and I started doing the lives every day, and that the lives increased my followers like by 50 every time I did it.
Yeah.
And I was just live from my bedroom shooting my window. You know, but yeah, so it was random. It was just me kind of bored at home and was like, I'll post it. And it just, and then I just fed it is essentially what happened. And I was really consistent with it for a while, went back for Thanksgiving. Holidays are just holidays. And I kind of haven't been posting nearly as much, but it's still like, I think it's still growing. Yeah.
Were you surprised of like the support that you were like receiving, like in those videos?
Yes. It's you know, it's so funny because you do like there's so much support. You get like in the live, I don't have really too many negative comments in the actual videos. In the lives though, there were a couple like people that were blocking because I was like, they're just hateful, you know.
You get those.
Yeah, no, the comments were all like lots of support, lots of interest, mostly kind, lots of feedback. We, you know, there's a lot of feedback on how I'm shooting, what I'm doing wrong. And I mean, I know it's all in good fun and people are just trying to help and stuff. But, you know, they're like, again, there's so much to learn with archery. So everyone has an opinion.
Yeah, I bet your DMs blew up too, I'd say. People, good and bad day, you know what I'm saying? But
yes. Yeah, they were some interesting ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've gotten some crazy, you know, direct messages before. Let's just keep it PG.
We'll like, keep it PG for sure.
What in the world? Like,
I mean, you can't make it up too. Like, some of the stuff you're like, I don't know. So,
yeah, for sure. That's cool though. Staying authentic. I tell people when they're, you know, posting these Instagram and TikTok videos, just being yourself. Like, don't try to be anybody else. Just stay to your true self. And like, people are going to follow you. They're going, you know, you'll blow up.
So. I think that is kind of, so the beginning of it was hard just because of the whole cringy fact. Like, you're posting, you're setting up your tripod, taking a video of yourself. For me, was hard. It was hard. But I did get like more and more comfortable with it. But there was that part of it. Like, you know, I don't want to be anything that I'm not, and I don't want to represent myself in any way that I'm not, I wouldn't out of, like, in real life. Cause I feel like TikTok isn't real. I don't know why. Like, Instagram's kind of my real life. TikTok's my fake life, which doesn't make sense but I don't know. I don't know. It just is this weird little, like, facade that I have. But the being authentic thing, I think, is, like, the only way things are going to be maintainable for me. Otherwise, like, I can't keep it up. So it's been really cool. And I've been authentic, and it's gotten a lot of support. And that's encouraging, too, because I'm not having to pretend to be something I'm not.
For sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just stick to doing you. Like, if they like you, they like you. If they don't, they don't. Just keep it moving.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So moving forward for you, what are your end goals with this archery, with the archery?
I mean, it's really just to dive into this hunting stuff, which we are currently working on at this point. I don't have, you know, as far as, like, the TikTok thing, I don't know. We'll just kind of keep doing what I'm doing. And I don't want to force anything that's not, again, like, not aligned or not maintainable. But so we'll kind of see where that stuff goes. But yeah, I just want to dive into the hunting. I love it. Like, I mean, that first hunt that I went on, I texted my friend and I was like, this is exactly what I want to do and where I want to be. However looks, like, that's, you know, I want to learn everything about it. I want to do it as much as I can. I hope my kids can get into it someday. If not, I don't care. I want to still do it. So yeah, I don't know that I have any real, like, goals with it at this point, because it's just still so new and I still don't know enough, you know?
I understand. So speaking what you just spoke about, you know, everything being so new, like, the word success, what does that mean to you at this point in your archery journey?
Having my first harvest would be success.
Okay.
And so we got a javelina tag right now. So we'll go out on Sunday. I also have a deer tag and a mountain lion tag. I mean, the mountain lion thing I have been talking about forever. And I mean, I know those are really hard, and
yeah,
you're super lucky. The fact that I've seen two of them already is, I don't know, that would be pretty freaking awesome.
I'd be going out there with a rifle if I'm going mountain lion hunting. I'm
for sure. Someone's going to be there with a rifle. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that. I hope it all works out for you, though.
I'm sure it's going to work out however it's supposed to.
Yeah, that's cool, though. So the deer tag, javelina, mountain lion. So those are your three right now.
Those are my three right now. Yeah, I had a deer tag in December, but nothing yet. And again, like, it was like, I'm happy to be there. Like, the you know, I just like being out there anyway. So,
yeah, I understand that. So what's the terrain out there where you hunt in Arizona? Is it more like what you sound like, deserts, like on TV?
Yeah, for sure. Now, if you go up north, it's more, you got, like, pines, and it's rocky. But I mean, it's all beautiful. Like, we were in southern Arizona a couple weeks ago or last weekend. And yeah, I mean, we're using, like, a buggy to get around.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Hiking in it, though, is, I mean,
a little difficult.
It's rough. Yeah. Again, that's what I love doing. I mean, if I don't have a bow with me, I'm still going to hike, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah.
Sounds like you're going hiking. You're going to need a side piece too
for sure.
Those mountain lions just come out of nowhere. I couldn't imagine.
I've lived here since I was 21. I'm 37 now, and I've never encountered a mountain lion at all. And I hike a lot. I used to hike a lot by myself, but I don't do that so much anymore. But this is first two hunts, and we encountered a mountain lion.
That's nuts.
That's so nuts, right?
It is. Yeah.
And like hearing them like scream the, cause we didn't hear the first one and we didn't see the second one. We just heard the first one, but he switched the call to like a mountain lion in heat. So when that call would go off, then the mountain lion would scream. Yeah. It was eerie.
I bet it was. See, here in the central part of Kentucky, we don't have any like mountain lions or anything. We got bobcats and, you know, foxes, coyotes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you go to the eastern part of the state, that's where you start the Appalachians mountains start right there.
Yeah.
They said they get sightings up there all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get drawn for an elk tag up there every year, but I still haven't got one. My buddy said every time that he's gotten drawn for an elk tag or going out there with some buddies, they've seen a mountain lion as well. So
really?
Yeah. So I'm just like, man, I'm kind of glad I didn't go with y'all.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing mountain lions.
We're not doing mountain lions. But yeah, well, I want to thank you so much for, you know, hopping on my podcast. I know it's kind of been a little trial and error.
That's
everything I've got going on in the family right now, but everything's good now and everything's progressing.
Well, good. Good. I'm really glad to hear that.
I appreciate that. So if people want to, you know, follow your story, follow your journey, watching you shoot in your house, where can they follow you?
So you can on TikTok, I believe. Crap, what is it? At Hannah Lee, I believe it is. And then my Instagram is at Made by Hannah Lee. So, and they might honestly both be at Made by Hannah Lee. I should know this, but I don't.
I follow you on Instagram. I don't think I follow you on TikTok just yet.
Yeah. The TikTok is strictly archery stuff. And that's where, honestly, I have more of a following. Instagram's kind of everything. I got a lot of kids stuff, a lot of mom stuff, you know, whatever. So, yeah, you can follow me on both those.
Sounds good.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Well, I'm glad. I hope it wasn't too awfully painful for you. So.
It was not at all. I enjoyed it. Give me a chance to talk about archery, and I'm a happy girl.
Thank everybody that's been rocking with me since day one. I appreciate y'all. 2026, I've got a lot of different things coming up that you all will like. I got a lot of things that are about to get announced pretty soon that I'm pretty excited about. So, any last words for the listeners?
I don't think so. I just appreciate the time and, you know, look forward to what's to come.
For sure. Well, you've got my Instagram. You've got my number. If there's anything that I can ever do for you, just let me know and I'll do the best that I can. So,
awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Stuff, so. All right, guys, here it is. Big game, small game, all game. We do this too.
How many discounts does USAA Auto Insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/autodiscounts. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.